You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
Never filtered, always fun.
Not like it was in junior where you try and cheese out the second assist. You skate over to the ref and be like, I touched that, actually.
I think that's how I got my only assist.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Our main man, George Clooney's, he's making changes. He went from the ultimate bachelor to tying the knot to having twins, expecting twins.
He'd be about, what, 55?
I'd say he's north of 50 for sure. You get over 50 and having kids, it's tough to begin with. You throw twins into the mix.
Yeah. It's not like he's in the middle of the night, he's changing diapers. He's got personal assistants, he's got nannies, he's got all that.
Yeah, but you're going to be 80 when your kid's in grade 4.
Believe me, tell me about it. I'm 45 years old. I got a 4-year-old.
Yeah, but
you're wheeling in at high school.
You're not 55 or what? Let's get a date on Clooney.
Steph just said he's 55 years old. 55.
55, dude.
So when the kids, he's 75 when they're 20.
Aren't you a bit surprised he doesn't have a kid already?
He may have rolled the dice a few times down the road.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was
guaranteed rolled the dice numerous times.
But if Jeter, does Jeter?
No, Jeter doesn't have kids. I guess I'm just thinking.
He might have 30 kids.
Well, you look at like Mick Jagger and.
Yeah, didn't Jagger have a kid at 70?
He just had a kid. I think he's 75. He just had a kid, and I think it's his 8th kid.
There you go. See it.
That's how Jeter got the post-shower routine. He rolled the dice. You know what I mean.
Yes, I'm quite familiar. Ray's coming up here in a minute. Blues are in town. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. Tyler Bozak was asked about, well, everyone's talking about Dion Phaneuf today because today is the one-year anniversary of that trade. And when he left, the captaincy left with him. There has not been a captain ever since Dion left. And Bozak was asked about that and the situation in the room and how everything's played out, and here's what he said.
Dion was a guy that, you know, was vocal and, you know, was able to take that on himself. And, you know, I think in here right now we need to work on that as a group. I don't think we have one guy that's ready for that. I think we just take it on as committee, and I think it's been working well for us to have everyone in here trying kind of lead in their own way.
Doesn't think they have one guy that's ready for that.
I got a guy.
I'm fine with that.
I got a guy.
I've got a guy starting next year. I have no problem with
that. We got a guy.
Them. No problem with them not having a captain this year.
Yes, he does. Like Matthews, it's a stone cold lock.
It's him, the captain. It's him next year. But if you've got a general manager that doesn't want your rookies to talk to the media, I said this to you guys off air, and I'll say it here. He's going to go from 0 to 100 next year, from basically doing just scrums after a game. He's going to have to do walk-offs. He's going to.
I think old Lou will manage some way to. Like, I felt bad for Sundin some days. It's like every single day. You really got to talk to him every day. Every damn day.
It's the responsibility. There's 50 media members down there looking for a story. You've got to talk. That's the one thing. Dion had a bad game against St. Louis. Remember, he didn't speak? That was the story the next day. He came on our show, He went on rival shows. Mm-hmm. He had to do the rounds because of it. That's what the market expects. So, you know, Austin, what I'd like him to do is get through this year, have a great season, do what he can to help this team. Next year, it's going to be a massive responsibility for him to take it on.
Yeah.
I would probably, he'll probably call McDavid and ask how that was because Edmonton on a smaller scale is a lot like that.
I'm with you. I mean, no one's suggesting Matthews should be anointed the captain today and for the final 30 games and into the playoffs or anything like that. But I think they should give it to him over the summer.
Sure.
Now, I don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, but my impression is, and based on my understanding, this guy is not your normal 19-year-old.
Right.
Like, he is very mature. He's very cool, calm, collected. Clearly, he's the leader of the team based on his play.
Right.
Like, he is the engine of this team already. And this is what happens when you get these phenom players. It's just a matter of time. He's going to be the captain, just like McDavid was going to be the captain. Crosby was going to be the captain. This is the way it works. But the Phaneuf trade, it was a perfect storm on multiple fronts because the fan base had clearly moved on from Dion. They were ready for him to leave. The majority of the fans had turned on him as a player. And the Matthews, Marner, Nylander era started so quickly.
Yeah.
Right? Like I was looking at the schedule today when we were prepping for the show, 81 days between the Phaneuf trade and the draft lottery. 81 days where you were kind of still thinking, okay, where are we going here? Dion's gone. Phil's gone. Yeah, I like Marner. Nylander could be good. But those 81 days was where you weren't quite certain what the team was going to be about, maybe who the future face of the team was going to be. 81 days later when they won the lottery, you knew exactly what that answer was.
I'm not glad Dion's gone. I'm just glad his contract's gone. Same with Phil. I miss Phil's goal scoring, but I don't miss his contract, and I'm not going to miss his contract going forward. If they're going to have to rebuild and try to add pieces, and obviously they lucked out with Austin Matthews.
It's funny, though.
Anybody you talk to in hockey said, what would you do to kind of fix this Leaf mess? And they said, everyone to a man said the same thing. Those two contracts, they probably are best to go somewhere else. And that's what they did.
It's ironic.
And everybody's happy about it. The players, the Leafs, everybody.
It's true. It's ironic, though. What do the Leafs need? A guy like Phaneuf to help out Riley.
They do, but
I know the
not
contract.
$7 million.
I know, but like they're not up against the cap. They're not a team that's worried about the cap right now because they've got young guys in control. They've got guys on LTI. What have you been talking about? That's defensive core. What are you missing? Depth. Guys who can defend top players. You are missing a guy like Phaneuf. That's the truth. But are you happy you moved on? Yeah, because a new regime started.
You also had to take advantage of the timing.
Absolutely.
There was a team willing to take him on, and the Leafs didn't have to eat any of the money. So if they didn't make the deal at that time, let's say they suggested it was in their best interest to hold on to Dion because he was a leader in the room, could still play well defensively for them.
Right.
And at that point, they didn't know they were going to win the draft lottery. But then you win it, and then at the draft, you call Ottawa back, and they say, no, we just acquired another guy. Sorry, man.
Well,
and you had to take advantage of the timing.
Absolutely. And lost in all of this, if McCulloch said no on waiving his contract, that's a guy that came out not that long ago and said, had I known I was going to end up with the Marlies this year,
kidding.
I'm not waiving that.
Man, did he
that
get
could have squashed the deal.
Let's bring in Ray Ferraro. Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Ray's in Ottawa for the Stars-Sens game on TSN 5 tonight. That's a great point by Noodles. You think Mihalik wouldn't mind pulling a Charles Oakley right now on ownership here in Toronto?
I don't think he'd be as intimidating, but because, by the way, did you not? How would you like to have had to be one of those cops to walk up there?
Well,
and you're like, and you
got the cops, the Paul Blarts, the guys that weren't even cops.
The guy, but Ray, we were saying if that one guy shows up with an eye patch and a neck brace today, because he got the finger kind of in the temple from Oakley.
Well, can you imagine being a Paul Blart and the guy comes up to you and says, "See that 6'9" dude? Get him out of here." I'd be like, "Not a chance."
You're what? My flashlight?
You're on your.
How am I going to get him out of here?
You're on your Segway. You head over to have a chat with him, and he just
your Segway, and you fall off of it, and then you got to stand up and get Oak out of the building.
You're right.
Here's my water gun. I am out of here.
Exactly.
It's so true. Have you ever seen a more polite security guard in your life? Like he was like, "Please, Mr. Oakley.
Yeah.
Let's just shift this behind the scenes, please."
That was something, that's for sure. But to your point, that's another way that whatever whatever the plan is, that the Leafs got fortunate, isn't it? That's a really an amazing point. That if McCulloch had put the Knicks on that thing, the deal's dead.
Yeah. Like, I read that, I think, about 2 months ago, and it kind of just flew under the radar. Like, he was like, yeah, had I known I was going to be riding the bus. And, you know, he's getting paid, and he's actually making extra money because no escrow. But, I mean, this is a guy who was, I think, 30 years old, still thought he could and still probably could play in the NHL and contribute. And he's in at the, you know,
well, could
for
they
the
maybe trade him at the deadline? Could he be a guy that gets dealt?
Maybe.
Is this the last year of his deal?
Yes, at $4 million, I think.
Yeah.
Ooh, well, that's still going to be tough for a team to gobble up at the deadline, right? So you're, what are we looking at, about 20% of the salary you have to fit in from the deadline on? Is it got to be close to that, right? So I mean, teams have to have that kind of room, and would they want to spend their room on a guy that would be, you know, at the top end, a third-line player for you? They might want to use their money elsewhere.
Well, I will say this. He makes four of real money. I'm looking at NHL numbers. His cap, it's only 2.83. So that may give you, I mean, if you believe that you want a depth guy who can slide in there, and Ray, you're talking, if you're using that 20% range, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you wanted to get him off the books.
Well, and maybe the Leafs could eat some of the money, too, if they have some room. Of the cap.
Well, you know what they would be doing at that point? They would be doing him a favor.
Yes, exactly.
Because the cap is not going to be an issue to him because his deal's up at the end of the year, so they don't have to worry about getting money off the books for next year. It would be, okay, look, we stuck you in the minors here, and you know you're not going to get much. You're going to get a low pick for him, if anything. So it would be, you know, trying to give him a last chance to play.
Yeah,
you're in Ottawa. You're covering a lot of Sens games. Noodles, you do the same thing. You guys talk with members of the team. It is the 1 year anniversary of them acquiring Dion. Do they seem happy with the deal still? I mean, how do they feel about Phaneuf and his place and his contract and the marketplace and how everyone's reacting in Ottawa?
I think they're very happy with him. Noodles, jump in here.
Yeah, I'll jump in.
What you think, but I think they're happy with how he's, you know, he's a second pair defenseman. They've wanted him to play alongside of CC, and you know they take a lot of the heavier matchups. He seems less unpredictable defensively because I think he tries to do less. But as far as a guy and fitting into the core of the team, there, I've not heard anything but positive stuff about him since he's been here.
Yeah, I'll jump in too. The one thing I've heard from the coaching staff is a lot what you said, the predictability of his game. He's helped Cody Ceci a lot. And the one thing he's helped in the room and for Erik Karlsson was bridge some of the leadership. I think a lot of the young guys, whether they meant to or not, were a little bit intimidated by Erik because he was such a great player. And he's kind of, he has a personality that he's a pretty straight shooter. And I think there was a bit of a gap there, and Dion's helped bridge that and take some of the load off. My understanding from what I hear from the guys in the room, they're happy with him. I could see. We were talking just before you came on, Ray, about, you know, it was a perfect fit for Dion to leave, or the perfect time for Dion to leave Toronto. The cap hit, the contract, he was a polarizing guy. You want to move on from that core group that was here in Toronto, and you were turning the page. But they were happy in Ottawa to welcome him because now they've got a top four they're very happy with. And the one thing, before I get long-winded, is I think he's slotted properly there. He doesn't have to. Carlson's the top dog. He does a lot of the heavy lifting, but Phaneuf does a lot of heavy lifting against top players. So it's a perfect fit.
Well, he doesn't try to create offense, I don't think. You know, when the offense is there, you know, he's got six goals. He'll either shoot the puck or he gets in front of the net on the power play. But it's not like he's trying to jump into the rush or anything like that. And I think that probably suits him a little better. I mean, just think of how many times he would, you know, jump himself 10 feet out of position. You can't get back. It's in the back of the net. And you know, he's got the bullseye on him again. And it was time for him to move, and I think Toronto got pretty fortunate to be able to find a taker full boat for the contract, and Ottawa's happy with them too.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, Leafs taking on the Blues tonight. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. Rays in Ottawa, Sens stars on TSN 5. There's a story out of Montreal, or a report out of Montreal, that caused a bit of a stir today, and I'd be curious to get you guys talking about it because you would know the way this kind of dynamic works. Allegedly, based on the report, Marc Bergevin met with the three leaders of the team, Pacioretty, Price, and Weber, and Therrien wasn't in the room. And I guess Bergevin, I believe he said that he had met with Therrien either before or after that, but some people are buzzing about what that could mean. I mean, is there anything to it, or does that just happen? Sometimes the GM only meets with the players and the coach doesn't have to be in the room.
I've I've not had many meetings or heard of many meetings like that. Maybe that's, you know, maybe it's not so such a big deal, but you know, it does. It seems a little different with without the coach there. My guess is that, yeah, I mean, they've played terribly over the last little bit. The last three games, they got two goals. Perhaps that's got something to do with the deadline. In that, look, I know you guys are, there's lots of talk about waiting for a deal to happen. It's not happening today. It's not happening tomorrow. You know, you got, you know, something along those lines. I mean, that would be my guess to, you know, to that.
Never had one with the coach gone.
I've seen it before.
Really?
I've seen, absolutely. Because if the general manager has come down and told the coach, I'm thinking of doing this. Okay, let's talk to the leaders in the room and get a thought process. It doesn't mean the coach has to be there. I've seen it happen on both sides. I don't think, again, I think they're always looking to stir things up in Montreal. It's always a story. Everything is. And this year, because everything's polarizing in Montreal. But I've seen, like personally, Daryl Sutter, when I was in Calgary, talk to the leaders in the team. The coach wasn't in there. It was him giving heck to the leaders to the team. But
yeah,
he
but
guaranteed he said to the coach.
With everybody in the room.
But it sounded like it was just three guys.
According to the report, it was Pacioretty, Price, and Weber.
Right. So those are the three leaders in that room, the top dogs. He's probably either asking their advice on bringing somebody into that room.
What if it's a new coach? Claude Julien's available all of a sudden? What do you guys think?
I wouldn't. I think Therrien's done a good job there. I think I'm in the minority, but there's, like I told you guys yesterday, I think there's
actually asking the players if they wanted to fire the coach.
I can't buy that.
No.
I've never, ever, ever heard of that. I wish I would have heard it.
Well, there's why you don't ask, is because if like, just what you think right away, right? I'm thinking if the GM would have asked me about four of my eight coaches, I would have been like, yeah, you bet you should fire him.
Yeah. I just wish Larry Tannenbaum asked me once, should I fire John Ferguson Jr.? I would have said, yes, Larry, yes.
You have the conch and the final say on this.
I would have asked him, can I do it for you?
Well, you're right, though. In Montreal, I mean, especially Therrien, right? Because hate him so much
but
in Montreal.
What's amazing is, how does this story get out?
Someone got it. Somehow it got out.
That is greasy.
That is so
I don't know
greasy.
How it got out.
Because that would have been so private. Like,
yeah, like, hey, can I see? Like, after practice, you walk in and go, hey, can I meet with you three? Like, who's?
Like, I don't know.
Who is reporting that? That's the thing.
I don't know. It's just a report that's come out of Montreal that
fake
this is
news.
What happened.
It's
I don't
fake news.
I don't think it is, but we'll see.
I mean, like when you think about it, how many people could have known that the meeting was happening? Because I'm sure Bergevin didn't walk in and write it on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you three guys come over to my office. So he either told them himself, or sent them a text, or, you know, maybe talk to, or maybe had a trainer say, have these guys come see me. So, I mean, it would be pretty easy to track down where it came out. It's not, you know, I wouldn't have thought 15 guys knew about it.
That's the first thing. If I was the general manager and something got out, I would track down who did that and I'd fire them, or I would have them dismissed.
What if it was one of the players?
Then
what if Price walked by a guy and said, hey, just so you know, I just met with Burge, and...
I got to think, I'm 100% certain that didn't happen.
Yeah, I was going to
say.
Well,
he doesn't talk to anybody unless it's a Wrangler commercial. But
I would suggest it's probably the trainer or one of the media types hanging around and overheard a trainer saying, hey, like Burge wants to meet with you or something like that. I don't know. But it is interesting because I don't think it's that big of a deal. I've had general managers come into the room and ask players privately about other players that they've played with, or what do you think of this guy? I don't know if that's happened to you, Ray. It's happened to me before.
For sure. I've also seen a GM come in and say to a player several times, hey, can I have a word with you? And, you know, the GM walks out and everybody right away is like, what the hell is that about? It's like, and it might be nothing. It might be virtually nothing. But, man, does the beehive get stirred up in a hurry.
Ray, my favorite general manager meeting is when Jimmy Rutherford walked in and he looked at Martin Jelena and said, if your neighbor emails me one more time telling me to play you, I'm trading you to Edmonton. I guess this guy's neighbor down in North Carolina didn't know any better. And he kept emailing Jimmy Rutherford saying, put my neighbor Marty Zelina on the ice more. And he lost his mind.
Well, I guess. Like, that's, I had an embarrassing moment, too. On the trade deadline, I was playing in Calgary. Craig Button was the general manager. And we were playing that night, and I was standing beside Rob Niedermeyer. And we were joking, and I said, he's up there trying to give you away right now. Craig Button is begging teams to give you away. And we were just coming out of the shower. We're just kind of in front of the mirror. And Craig was standing behind me and goes, Rob, can I talk to you? And he got traded an hour later to
Anaheim.
No way. Went and won a Stanley Cup.
Look at you, insider.
But I was laughing because I was bugging. If you know Rob Niedermeyer, he's a great sense of humor. But I don't know. We can get Craig on. I don't think Craig wanted to trade him. But the optics was that they wanted to extend him, couldn't get it done. He got traded, but I was just being a loudmouth saying, like, nobody wants you. You're a loser. Nobody wants you. He's up there begging somebody to take you off our hands. And Craig happened to be standing there, and he got dusted an hour later.
Beautiful.
I recall two teams where the general manager told us before the deadline, I'm trying to make a deal, trust me, and I can't.
Isn't that a classic line? I want to trade all of you, but nobody wants any of you.
I'm trying. I call everyone. No one wants you guys.
Sounds like a Phil Jackson tactic. I mean, how are you supposed to play better when your GM is saying that you are completely unwanted league-wide? Like, is that supposed to be a confidence boost or what?
When they told us that in Atlanta, we were quite certain that that meant we were on the lowest rung of the NHL. If you can't, I can't give you away, and we have 11 wins. There's nowhere for you to go.
It's coming close. There's going to be a couple of obscure trades. Every year at the deadline, someone gets traded where even you guys on the panel are like, wait a minute, someone look this guy up quickly.
Yeah.
Like, who is he and how did he get dealt?
No, you just go with the classic line. This is a bit piece. Bit piece addition for this club.
I want to say O's first trade deadline, we didn't get our first deal for like the first 4.5 hours. We were out there just treading water, and it was a minor league deal. Two American League players got traded for each other, and James says, oh, you know, it's just a minor deal, and we went to commercial. I'm like, not to them, it's not. But we had nothing for 4.5 hours.
Nothing.
And you're just flipping through your notes. You're like, I don't know what you want me to say here.
That's when the quizmaster is just all on fire.
You got to get creative, right? You're on live TV. You can't just sit there and go to the trade bait board every 5 minutes.
I think we had llamas come out.
Yeah, that's good. And I wonder if there'll be any weapons this year.
Yeah, didn't
I don't know.
Remember Hedge?
Hedge took it.
Marty Baron almost killed Hedge.
That's right.
That's what I mean. I wonder if they'll give us one of the guys a catapult this year or something.
Well, they had the Senate. Didn't they have those, like, those mascot senators or whatever running around, too?
Well,
yeah, one guy bit the dust on the rehearsal there. He tripped over. I think it's probably hard to see, and he tripped over the corner of the set. And I don't know, one of the prime ministers, Sir John A., went down in a heap.
I can't believe no one thought of putting Hedge on SportsCenter in a neck brace.
Yeah.
Like, just to have fun with it. Neck brace, eye patch, full body cast.
I'm telling you, that Oakley, like, we determined that Oakley gave out an eye poke, a Dr. Spock grabbed the shoulder, and there was one and a
shove. Well, the arm swipe. The
karate chop.
Aggressive. That was like Karate Kid type chops.
Yes, I mean, it was a wax on move.
Have you ever met Oakley? Right?
Well, I was just going to say, I have not met him, but they played a night game, the Knicks. We were playing an afternoon game, and the Ranger-Knick locker room were connected by all the shower and bathroom facilities. They had their own door. We had ours. And because they played in the afternoon or at night, their locker door was open. So before the game, we were kind of wandering in there. And so I see Oakley's. They got all their jerseys there. So I put Oakley's jersey on and walk back in the room, and I'm not kidding, his jersey came to the top of my feet. And so, of course, the guys right away, they're like, hey, Pee-wee, get that jersey off. It was enormous. Like, I couldn't believe how big the thing was. And they used to take the shower heads and point them to the roof. So, you know, like, I'd go, me and mostly everybody would go into the shower, which is already about 8-9 feet high, and the water shooting on the roof. You had to get a chair to fix it back down. They thought there were a million laughs.
Oh, no kidding, man. He is 6'9", like 245. He's got an attitude to begin with. Like, yeah. He's got a growl on at any point in the day.
He's got a Lieutenant Dan attitude to start off with.
Yes, and he was not happy. And listen, that story is just getting going. Every time, like, we've had SportsCenter on, we've had the tube on in studio for the past hour and a half, and every 5 minutes they keep showing different videos.
They're doing libero of it up there, where James Dolan is over here, and like,
it's a full breakdown of a fight. I've never seen anything like
it. Oakley is at least a head taller than everyone else.
Man.
Well, I saw a tweet last night. Spencer Checketts, who's Dave Checketts' son, said, my dad's at the jail trying to bail out Charles right now. His dad used to be the CEO of the Knicks. And I'm like, man, what a convoluted mess this is going to be.
No kidding. I mean, the Knicks are such a clown show to begin with.
It's just
scary, man. Anyway, enjoy it in Ottawa tonight, and we'll break down the games tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you tomorrow. See you, boys.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto, or you can visit timeshareexitteam.ca. Brian Mahoney, who covers the Knicks for the Associated Press, he was at the Garden last night. He'll join us just after 6. So we'll get you a read on the mood in the building.
Yeah.
At what point did he notice what was going on? Is anyone taking the Knicks' side down in New York, or is just every single fan on earth pro Charles Oakley right now?
We got to ask him if he's got an inside scoop.
Yeah, like what's going on?
Was
here?
He mouthing off?
Got
was
a guy.
He?
He's got a guy. I guarantee you.
O's got a guy.
Oh, I had a guy too, but I didn't have a guy who was in the building.
All right, so Mahoney's coming up with a guy around 6 o'clock, and we're talking about the trade deadline, the NBA trade deadline, rapidly approaching as well. DeMar DeRozan with some interesting comments on how the Raptors should approach that. We'll let you hear it. We'll discuss it next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. It's a Maple Leaf game night tonight. St. Louis in town. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop at 7:30, pregame at 7 p.m. Make sure you listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup. Player of the day on Friday, calling with the names of all five players. You can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Leafs take on the Sens February 18th down at the ACC. The theme this week is former Maple Leafs who were big parts of the Battle of Ontario back in the early 2000s. And today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Matt Sundin.
That's fair.
The captain, Matt Sundin.
Big part of it.
The legend.
Raptors lost again last night to another bad team, a lottery team, and you're going to lose some games over the course of a year. 4 or 5 you want back if you're an elite team.
Right.
Problem is they've lost 4 or 5 over the past 7 or 8 that you want back.
They really have a tough time burying teams. They get the lead, and then it's just, it's like clockwork. 15 points goes mm-hmm. to 10, and then 5, and then they're losing. And it's like, what the hell just happened?
Well, I think they were up 10 at the half, and their intensity level, their defense just hit the skids in the third quarter. It just got ugly, and you could feel it coming. And they had leads in the fourth quarter, but you could tell that Wiggins and Towns, they were going to get to them, and sure enough, it's exactly what happened. And they end up losing the game, and they keep dropping in the standings. And Washington won last night, so they're now tied with the Raptors, and it feels like the Wizards are kind of blowing past them in terms of expectations this year. Boston's 2 or 3 games up on both those teams. Atlanta won again last night, so they're right behind them.
Are you legitimately worried, or is it them just kind of treading water through the regular season, think they're going to turn it on kind of down the stretch?
Well, I'm worried in terms of the situation they're putting themselves in. You want to be in the best-case scenario.
Correct.
Right? You want home court for as long as you can get it. The way they're playing right now, they may not have home court in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, they may drop to the 5 seed and play Atlanta or Washington in the first round and have to start on the road, and that would not be ideal.
No.
And then you'd be playing Cleveland in the second round as opposed to buying your time potentially and meeting them in the conference final if you're lucky enough to get there.
I don't like a matchup with Washington and them right now.
Me neither. Wall and Beal are on fire right now, and those were the two guys who torched them 2 years ago. They got embarrassed by Washington in the first round. They got swept. So you're right, man. You got to dodge that bullet like the plague.
Although it says something when you're talking about a team dodging bullets. You know what I mean?
I think if they're
on fire right now, you're like, bring it on. Who's up?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's destroy these guys, and we're waiting for Cleveland. We want to get to Cleveland. But it's like, now you're talking dodging bullets. The whole narrative has changed.
It has in like a month and a half.
Yes.
It's taken a 180 turn. There's not much confidence right now in terms of where they can go in the playoffs.
Your tone at the beginning of the year when they're on the hot streak, it's like it's just a matter now if they can get through Cleveland.
I said I thought they could pass Cleveland in the regular season, finish top spot in the East.
Well,
I believe that. And it was a choke job take because this team has completely fallen apart.
An awful take.
It was a reasonable take at the time. They were like a game and a half, 2 games back.
At the time, it was reasonable.
You can't do that. You can't say at the time it was a great take.
Well, hold on a second.
Because it turned out to be a garbage take.
No, because a while back, we've had the ups and downs of the Maple Leafs season.
There was before a time the season, no one had him in a playoff spot.
Exactly. Now,
no, you didn't.
I did.
Get the hell out of here.
You
did.
In what league did you have them in a playoff spot?
I said they will compete for a playoff spot.
Oh. Yeah, so will other 29 other teams. They're going to do that, too.
Compete now. And they'll compete.
Get the clip, Mark.
Okay.
We'll get the clip. But what I'm saying is there's been so many ups and downs. There was a couple weeks ago where he said, home ice, would you sign off on a wild card spot or home ice? And people are like, push it. I still say sign off on anything that gets you into the secondary.
You're not as confident that they're getting to the playoffs.
I'm not as confident as everyone else.
Now that I remember, I did say the Maple Leafs probably would not make the playoffs.
Oh, probably now. I think you said it's the lock of the century. There's not making the playoffs.
I would never use that terminology, lock of the century.
That's more of Brian's. But yeah. I think they're exactly where they should be. And I think they're trending in the right direction. Even if they fell short, it's a great season. If they make it, to me, it's bonus. You're playing with gravy.
I think you're right when it comes to the Maple Leafs. The Raptors, clearly, it's totally different.
It's totally different with the Raptors.
They, for whatever reason, the trade deadline came up today at shoot-around, and DeMar DeRozan was asked about the idea of them making a deal and trying to improve their team.
Right.
Here's what DeMar said.
Help is a great word with anything. You know, anybody could take help for anything if it's gonna make you better, better team, better anything. You know, so help is always welcome for sure. But if not, we still gotta lock in and be mentally locked in for 48 minutes when we go out there and play.
That's code for go ahead and do something. We'd love it. And if you don't, we're gonna bust our ass to try to get out of this.
This is likely as far as DeMar would ever go.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak that often with the media in terms of him actually opening up.
He's loaded up with cliches.
He is. He's a cliche machine. He's a soft-spoken guy. He's not overly comfortable talking with the media.
Yep.
He rarely, if ever, ruffles feathers. So I think it speaks volumes that he was willing to even say this.
Right.
This is so out of his comfort zone for him to even go this far. I think it says a lot about the mentality of him and probably the other players in that room right now. And this is another guy, DeMar DeRozan, who can thank LeBron James. Because when LeBron comes out and says he needs help, everyone needs help. And if LeBron can ask for it publicly, everyone can ask for it publicly.
That's not true.
It's totally true.
The first part of your statement is true. The second part is not true. Not everybody is LeBron James, has the clout of LeBron James.
My point is,
a lot of guys that if they ever came out and said that, the general manager, the owner, the president would say, email, phone call, shut the hell up, and I don't want to hear you again.
That's valid. I'll grant you that.
The first part of your statement is true. Second part, not true.
But what it's opened the door is somebody else is saying LeBron wants one, and he could hint towards it just like he did.
Let me restructure that comment.
Rethink what you're talking about.
If LeBron needs help, everyone needs help. You're cool with that?
I am.
If LeBron speaks up, other superstars can speak up. And I think that's what's happening here. You're right.
Here's what it is.
Siakam can't come out and say, we could use some help here.
If LeBron is seeking help, then every team could probably use help. If LeBron speaks out, maybe other star players can bring it to the forefront.
He puts a shield
up. But they're not
for
going
everyone.
Out. DeMar is not going to come out and say, we need a friggin' playmaker.
He's not going to echo exactly what LeBron said or did, but
that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to skirt around it, the issue, and just maybe throw in a little, we could always use help.
But don't you think that speaks volumes? DeMar DeRozan doesn't say anything ever. He just doesn't. That's not in his DNA. He's not a guy that's willing to speak out. And the fact that he was even willing to go this far, I think, says something. But my point about LeBron is he made the decision. Left Cleveland, went to Miami. That opened the doors for Durant to say, I'm out of here in Oklahoma City. I'm chasing rings. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to load up on a super team. LeBron spoke out about Charles Barkley. What happened next? Wade comes out. Other players come out and say, you're right. I don't like Charles Barkley. LeBron posted last night on Instagram, the first one to post something about Charles Barkley. Now everyone in the league is doing it.
Right.
LeBron sets the tone for everyone else, and he puts on a vest for everyone else. He's almost like a commissioner for the players. If he does something, everyone's like, cool, man, you're going to take the heat. Because no one's going to care what DeMar DeRozan says if they can talk about what LeBron is saying.
That's true.
And that's my point, is LeBron sets a tone for every other player in the league. Because
he can slide right in on...
Because no one cares about what you're saying if LeBron's saying the same thing.
That's true.
LeBron's clickbait in the flesh.
When you go to six straight NBA finals, you can say or pretty much do whatever the hell you want.
And that's true.
Do you want to hear what Casey had to say about the same line of questioning?
Let's hear this.
On the side, I've talked about what you know, the needs or whatever before, but I'm not even thinking about trade deadline, and I encourage our guys not to worry about that and do the job where you're at, and that's my major concern.
I don't believe that for a second. And it says nothing to do about him personally. Every coach in the league is thinking about the deadline because every coach on earth, regardless of the sport, always wants more talent. Right? Like, what coach on earth isn't sitting
like,
there saying,
no, we're good.
Yeah, so, you know, he's got to be more diplomatic. He's got to make sure his guys feel good. I understand why he's saying this. He's not going to go public and say, I'm in Masai's office every day. Please make a trade for me. But I think Dwayne Casey would be okay with an upgrade.
Well,
I think
sure.
Dwayne would be pretty happy.
Yeah, there's no doubt in
That's
my mind.
That's the whole coach's cliche. You guys in the room, the guys in here, you're the guys that got to get out of this. Don't be waiting for somebody to come walking. I've heard that one, honestly, every year, multiple times.
But then when a new guy walks in.
Hey, nice to see you.
Love having you here.
Exactly.
Let me show you your new stall. Gordon tweeting in, Gordo, saying it was Naylor. The nail gun did predict the Leafs would make the playoffs.
Yes, he's the only one from TSN, I believe, that came out and said the Leafs will make the playoffs.
And Dave Naylor said that before they won the draft lottery. Like this time last year, I believe. It was around February or March.
An early show, though. Crawl out of bed, make hot takes.
Maybe. But
good for Naylor.
Dave Naylor was the guy. I know like a lot of other people are like, oh, I thought they were good, too. I don't know. I never heard anybody else say that.
No, I haven't heard
Naylor
anybody.
Naylor gets credit. So don't try to.
I wouldn't take it away from the nail gun.
Yeah, don't piggyback on Naylor's hot take.
Not me. I think Ole was trying to do that. I
tried to latch on, and you caught me.
I just said I believe that they are going to be fighting for a spot, and I think we said that on our show. It'd be nice if they were, and I thought they'd be a gray area team, 7-12.
I thought that was, if you're lucky, they would be pushing for a playoff spot. I did. I didn't think these rookies would have the impact that they're having,
nope. And
and I wasn't sure Freddie was going to have the great stretch that he had. Now he's come back to earth, clearly. But
right. But my objective at the end of this year was to see exactly what the group was, and we've talked about it all season long. You've got a starting goaltender. You believe Morgan Rielly's your number one, and you've got a stud centerman in Austin Matthews, and then you've got a real talented group up front. You've got to build on the back end. But you got a lot of answers to your organization in a hurry.
They're in the playoffs with 30 games left.
Exactly.
And if they get in now, no one would be shocked.
No.
Like what they've defined now is you should be expecting that they're going to stay in the race.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get in, no one's going to say, oh, I didn't see that on February 9th.
Right.
Yeah, on October 9th, maybe not. February 9th, there's too much sample size now. They've played 52 games. They're in a playoff spot. Brian Mahoney from the AP, he was at the Garden last night. He'll join us just after 6. We get back into Charles Oakley versus James Dolan, just the sideshow that is the New York Knicks. And Kelly Chase, friend of the show.
We'll ask him what would happen if he was asked to leave the building in St. Louis.
I can't wait to hear this. Chaser, put yourself in Oakley's position. If the owner of the Blues out of nowhere told security to escort you out of the building, how would you react?
It would be the cab driver story.
I think he'd start throwing.
Yeah, like it would go south in a hurry.
It wouldn't be a
it wouldn't
poke.
Be good. It
there wouldn't be
good.
There wouldn't be a Spock grab and a poke and a karate chop.
I'll never forget. It was very quiet in the locker room, and we were in the middle of a serious speech, like we were getting yelled at, and this cleaning guy, this little Geppetto looking guy, comes in with a cleaning bucket and a broom or
a mop.
And Chaser just looks at him and goes, "Hey, Pee-wee, take a lap." And the guy, poor guy, just turned around. Just, "Hey, Pee-wee, take a lap."
That's welcoming.
Yeah. No, he was at an all-time lap.
I was like 58 years old. He called him Pee-wee.
Just doing his job. Probably didn't know you guys were in there.
No, he's just protecting it. That's Chaser, protecting his teammates as usual.
"Hey, Pee-wee, take a lap." All right, so Chaser in about a half an hour. We'll get back into the Leaf game tonight. We'll hit the Grit Grinder next. All right, we'll get to the Grit Grinder here in just a moment. Maybe get back into some Johnny Manziel CFL talk.
And you're still claiming that you would watch Johnny Manziel.
I'm telling you, I would watch him play in the CFL.
Dude, why are you doing this? You're lying. You're flat out lying.
I'm not lying. So I'm not a big CFL guy, but Manziel, he interests me. This guy's whole story has become
a
celebrity.
Off the field, he does.
But he won a Heisman. He's an interesting player. He's
a
different guy.
This is not college. This is not the OHL. This is not anything like that. This is the big leagues, whether it's the CFL or not.
Well, maybe he goes Flutie. Maybe he comes up here as the smaller guy, great college player.
So now he's the next Doug Flutie.
Maybe.
You never know.
Give him a chance.
I don't like the guy, personally. He's got a face you want to punch. You do. He does. He's got that smug little look on his face.
It's like yours.
No.
It's like mine. I am pro anything Manziel does in terms of interest level, in terms of just material for the show.
But the thing,
I'll be honest about that.
It's not his stats.
But the fact that we're even arguing and talking about it, that's good. I'd like the CFL to bring him in. I'd like to see him. It'd be better off if he was in Hamilton, because the Tat Man would have his mustache right in his grill every day.
He'd love that. But they got Caleros, and I don't think that's going to happen. Where Manziel needs to be is in Toronto. Like, this is the market that they've got to come alive. This is the market that they've got to get going.
But he would be a disaster here. You know he'd be...
He claims that he's getting clean. He's claiming that he's trying to get his career back on path. The truth is, it would be a big step for him to admit that he has to go to the CFL. I think he's still delusional and thinks he can get back into the NFL. I think he's got to prove he can play before he gets back into the NFL. I think he's got to come up here and report.
If you were a general manager in the NFL and you had him followed for a month and he was just squeaky clean, would you give him an opportunity?
I don't know if I would in the NFL. I would tell him, go to the CFL if you can. Now, maybe the CFL would sit there and say, and the Tiger Cats have his rights. We don't want you. We don't need you. We don't think you could play. But presuming they would be interested, if I'm the NFL, I would say, go up there, show me for a year.
Yeah.
Let me build up some tape, build up some reps. Because he's not walking into the NFL as a starter. He would have to be a second or third string guy, practice squad type guy. So I think it's in his best interest to come up here. And if it's in Hamilton, Saskatchewan, the Argos, I'm for it, is what I'm saying. I'm for
Keep in mind,
Johnny
this guy,
football.
I believe is a trust fund baby, so he's
got money.
I don't know if he'll be loving it in Saskatchewan.
Well, we took enough runs at Western Canada yesterday.
Yeah, but
we don't need to circle back.
It's for a certain type of people. There's people that wouldn't last out there.
Yeah, and me and him.
I don't think that guy would last out.
We do our farming in Alliston. That's what we support.
Alliston. I was trying to remember that last night. Alliston.
Alliston, Ontario.
Yeah.
Best potatoes around.
Listen,
that's where they make
ruffles. I support
ruffles.
Agriculture.
Is that right?
That's exactly right.
I love ruffles.
We love
Have you ever
ruffles.
Tried a ruffle with just a cream cheese?
I don't like cream cheese that much.
No. Try it. A ruffle straight up into the cream cheese, and then welcome to heaven.
All right.
We'll talk about it.
I'll look into it tonight. Brian Mahoney
from the lasagna,
AP?
By the way?
Yeah, when did I say I was going to make you that lasagna?
My birthday is February 23rd. All right. I want the lasagna.
I got time. I'll have a sheet in here for you.
You're such a liar.
Kelly Chase in about half an hour. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.